This is Mulberry Christian Radio with our global news report. The Gaza Humanitarian Foundation has now served more than 10 million meals to Gazans, according to the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation Executive Chairman Johnny Moore. The aid was paused briefly but resumed yesterday. Military correspondent Lappin tells CBN News that the aid program is harmful to Hamas because it removes Gazans' dependency on the terror group, reducing its political power. Also in Gaza, the IDF uncovered a major Hamas command center underneath a hospital, another sign of its willingness to put civilians in serious danger. According to Israel's Channel 12, the IDF discovered documents showing Qatari funding of the group, which helped enable it to carry out the October 7, 2023 killings and kidnappings of Israeli and foreign nationals. It's been 3 years since 7,600 United Methodist churches split from the denomination over same-sex marriage and ordination of homosexuals. CBN News reports that many churches are now finding a renewed sense of purpose. Members of the Christian musical group The Newsboys say they're horrified, heartbroken, and angry following charges of sexual abuse and drug use against former lead singer Michael Tate. It has now been 21 months since Israel's seven-front war began with a brutal Hamas attack on southern Israel's Gaza perimeter. Jonathan Tobin, editor-in-chief of the Jewish News Syndicate, warns that the war is not just against Jews, it's a war against the West. Comedian Tim Allen has been reading through the Bible and says he's now in the Book of Romans, which has left him amazed. Are the Dead Sea Scrolls older than archaeologists had believed them to be? According to artificial intelligence, the answer is yes. CBN's Raja Nair explained. Expert observers in the UK warned that the country is sliding into a possible civil war. 2 decades of multicultural experiment to allow a flood of Muslim immigrants into the country without requiring them to integrate has boosted the likelihood of open conflict. The Pentagon and the State Department are preparing partial evacuations of non-essential U.S. personnel in parts of the Middle East that could be threatened by Iran. Tehran has warned of an attack U.S. interests if negotiations in nuclear talks break down. President Trump said he is much less confident of a deal being made. In Gaza, the U.S. aid fund GHF confirms that several Palestinian aid workers were killed and others injured by Hamas when the terror group fired on their bus. Hamas accused them of being part of an Israeli-backed militia. In Jerusalem, Knesset members gave Argentine President Javier Milei a rousing welcome in his first speech to Israel lawmakers. Milley strongly criticized the international community for backing Hamas and refusing to show concern for Israel's hostages. He also announced that Argentina will move its embassy to Jerusalem in 2026. Argentina's President Javier Milei received the rousing approval from the members of the Israeli Knesset for his strong stand against anti-Semitism and globalist Hamas supporters. In a speech to the lawmakers, Milei pledged to move Argentina's embassy to Jerusalem next year. And Olympic gymnast Simone Biles has apologized for unkind social media comments she made about swimmer Riley Gaines, who had defended women's sports by opposing the inclusion of transgender biological males. Gaines accepted her apology. And Sahara Cubbage, CBN News' George Thomas, visits a woman who was called to one of the world's most dangerous places. She's building an army through prayer in the African nation of Chad. Senator James Lankford's new book, Turnaround, America's Revival, urges Christians to boldly live their faith, saying biblical leadership is seeing the problem God puts on your heart and doing something about it. At least 240 people were killed in the crash of an Air India plane bound for London. One passenger miraculously survived, and there were other fatalities on the ground. Reports abound of encountering Jews in the Muslim world, including an imam who met Jesus in a dream and a woman who was miraculously healed of an issue of blood, just as Luke's gospel describes. Israel's military has made spectacular advances in destroying Iran's military and nuclear infrastructure during 4 days of Operation Rising Lion. However, despite the success of Israel's defense systems, a few of Tehran's heavy missiles have taken lives in several cities throughout Israel, inflicting damage on buildings and neighborhoods. CBN News visited one attack site in the city of Bat Yam, south of Tel Aviv. Israel Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu also went there to inspect damage and warned that all of Israel is aware that the nation is under an existential threat. Meanwhile, Israeli jets control the skies in Iran and are pounding away at more military and nuclear sites. The Netanyahu government asked for U.S. help in destroying the underground Fordo nuclear plant, but was rejected, according to a report in Axios. And new findings published in a scientific journal shows that the Dead Sea Scrolls may be more than a century older than researchers have thought. The scroll contains writings from at least a half a dozen biblical books. Could the world watching end times events play out in the battle between Israel and Iran? CBN News spoke with biblical prophecy expert Todd Hampson, who is closely monitoring the events in the conflict. In an exclusive interview with CBN News, Chris Mitchell, U.S. Ambassador to Israel, Mike Huckabee, points to Israel's biblical right to the land going back 3,000 years. All-Star LA Dodgers pitcher Clayton Kershaw made a bold statement with his apparel on the team's Pride Night, pointing to the biblical meaning of the rainbow. C.C. Winans brought a bold gospel message to NPR, declaring, "He is coming soon." As Iranian missiles rained down on Israel during the Sabbath, a group of Jewish believers in Yeshua gathered in a bomb shelter, not in fear, but in worship of the living God. The ties between the Persians and the Jews goes back more than 2,000 years to the days of Cyrus the Great, when he restored the Jews to their promised land. Some asking, could the Israeli military and political leaders today be a kind of Cyrus in reverse, bringing freedom to Iran? U.S. Ambassador to Israel, Mike Huckabee, wrote a respectful and encouraging message to President Trump, urging him to listen first to God's voice concerning the Israeli-Iran conflict. Trump posted the letter on Truth Social. And the Senate Judiciary Committee has begun a probe into an alleged scheme by China to influence the 2020 elections in favor of Joe Biden by creating fake driver's license with real ID numbers. Pedaling thousands of miles across America, a team of cyclists is on a mission to rescue children from trafficking, riding for freedom, justice, and a future filled with hope. A New York area advertising executive is using her marketing skills to rebrand Judaism, making it more inviting to Jews and non-Jews alike, while boldly confronting Jew hatred. Israel's leaders and citizens found a new measure of wrath today against Iran's regime after its missiles hit a hospital in Beersheba and neighborhood in the crowded Tel Aviv suburbs. Doctors at Soroka Hospital said that miraculously the building that was struck had been evacuated the day before. Prime Minister Netanyahu vowed that Iran's leaders would pay the full price for the attack, and Defense Minister Israel Katz called for regime change. In Washington, President Trump decided to involve the U.S. in the war, but has not yet given the order, according to a report in the Wall Street Journal. And U.S. Supreme Court has upheld the Tennessee law that bans life-altering experimental procedures on gender-confusing minors. As the military situation gets more dire inside Iran, social media watchers report a surreal phenomenon, Iranians cheering Israel as it attacks the regime. The head of Transform Iran tells CBN News, "It's not so unusual, given what the people have suffered." The world is in a season of celestial happenings, four signs that could have prophetic significance for Israel. And witnesses say babies were burned during a recent brutal slaughter of 200 Nigerian Christians by Muslim jihadists. Religious freedom advocates call it the worst killing spree in the region's troubled history. The Central Asian nation of Kazakhstan is not an easy place to advance the gospel, but a group of young believers from the region met there recently in the mountains of God to do just that. God is so good. Former swimming star and women's sports activist Riley Gaines was heartily applauded when she revealed that she's expecting a baby. It put a new twist on the gender clash with Olympian Simeon Biles. And Ephraim Graham talks with Chef Deborah Van Trance about the Global Soul Kitchen. Cece Winans talks about her music collaboration with Pastor Shirley Caesar. Plus, Malcolm D. Lee discusses his book, The Best Man, Unfinished Business, all in this week's Studio 5. U.S. Customs officials say border agents did not allow a single migrant into the country last month. It's a stunning drop from the May 2024 when the Biden administration allowed 62,000 illegals to cross the border. A new round of scattering and disturbing sexual assault allegations against Newsboys singer Michael Tate prompted a major Christian radio network to pull the group's songs off the air. Some call Tate's behavior over the decades the biggest open secret in Christian music. British lawmakers have backed the most significant change to abortion law in decades, voting in favor of an amendment to decriminalize abortions up to the moment of birth. Under the current British law, abortions is technically illegal. Still, it is decriminalized during the first 24 weeks of pregnancy and in some limited cases beyond if the life of the mother is in danger. Over 250,000 abortions take place legally in England and Wales under the system this year. However, on Tuesday afternoon, members of Parliament backed an amendment to the Crime and Policing Bill by a margin of 379 MPs in favor and 137 against to decriminalize abortions at any time for women in England and Wales. The BBC reported this would effectively end the ability of the state to prosecute women who intentionally end their pregnancies up to the moment of birth. Chinese state media reported that the National University of Defense Technology in Yunnan has created a surveillance micro drone the size of a mosquito. Here in my hand is a mosquito-like type of robot. Miniature bionic robots like this one are especially suited to information, reconnaissance, and special missions on the battlefield. NUDT student Lang Hexiang told state-run China Central Television. The device Lang showed off had a stick-thin body, three hair-long legs, and tiny leaf-shaped wings. The report did not go into detail about its range, endurance, control system, or surveillance capabilities. Britain ruled by a death cult, decries Peter Hitchens after Labour-dominated Parliament voted for a sister dying by 23 votes, only days after it also voted in favor of decriminalizing women aborting their own children up to the moment of birth. The House of Commons, Britain's elected parliamentary chamber, backed the terminally ill adults end-of-life bill by 314 votes to 291 against, giving the majority of 23. The bill won't become law immediately and has to clear other Westminster hurdles, but the remaining steps are essentially pro forma, and the so-called assisted dying bill is now all but certain to be the law. Under the provision of the bill, terminally ill adults will be permitted to apply to be killed, the application being considered by a panel of two doctors, a social worker, a lawyer, and a psychiatrist. Today's so-called assisted dying decision was a free vote, with parties not telling their MPs which side to support, because a considerable number of Labour or government MPs rejected the notion. It appears it was only able to pass because of support from opposition politicians, including former Conservative Prime Minister Rishi Sunak. The Daily Telegraph claims that without Conservative pro-suicide vote, the bill would not have passed. Israel Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu called the White House decision to bomb Iran's nuclear sites a pivot in history. Iran's foreign minister said the attack marked the end of diplomacy and Tehran regime has fired missile barrages at Israel while threatening to attack the U.S. interests in the region and possibly on American soil. Vice President J.D. Vance said, "We don't want war with Iran," but President Trump had a slightly different take. Posting on Truth Social, he acknowledged that the term regime change is politically incorrect. But if the Iranian leaders are unwilling to make Iran great again, why wouldn't there be a regime change? A suicide bomber in Syria invaded a Greek Orthodox church service outside Damascus, killing at least 22 people and injuring more than 60 others. Syrian state media says the bomber is likely part of the terror group Islamic State. And hackers, possibly with ties to Israel, wiped out a $90 million crypto exchange used by Iranian terrorists. The attack and other hacks could become significant if Tehran's feared Revolutionary Guard has trouble paying its fighters' salary. A shock claim. A major state university allegedly hatched a plot to force a Christian football coach out of his position because of his religious beliefs. Best-selling author and Middle East analyst Joel Rosenberg is asking Christians to join him in praying for the liberation of Iran. And a noted Bible teacher and author got the test of her life after family medical diagnosis as she prepared to write a study book on My Strength is Made Perfect in Weakness. She shares her story and a miracle with the CBN News' Wendy Griffin. CBN Israel is bringing comfort and shelter to Israeli victims of Iranian missile attacks during their time of greatest need. CBN News traveled to the city of Bat Yam, one of the first places hit when the latest round of attacks started in mid-June. An Israeli defense minister, Israel Katz, ordered Israel's military to strike targets in Tehran after Iran violated a ceasefire announced by President Trump. The agreement was less than 3 hours old when missiles landed this morning in the northern Israel. Earlier, a deadly missile hit the southern city of Beersheba, killing 4 Israelis and injuring at least 20. The White House hailed the agreement, which the president called a complete and total ceasefire. U.S. Catholic bishops face a federal investigation by the House Homeland Security Committee to account for billions of dollars, taxpayer dollars, used to facilitate illegal immigration under the Biden administration. And police are praising the staff of Cross Point Community Church in Wayne, Michigan, after they helped prevent the mass shooting. Church members confronted a gunman, struck him with a car, and killed him as he was firing. Victims of the Palestinian Authority's pay to slay policy that rewards terrorists won a big victory at the Supreme Court. The High Court ruled 9-0 that groups such as PA and PLO are subject to U.S. jurisdiction if they operate in the U.S. or attack Americans abroad. A family that survived an Iranian missile attack in Tel Aviv area just days ago tells CBN News Julie Stahl, "We are only alive by the grace of God." With the ceasefire between Israel and Iran in effect, both sides are assessing the future. Prime Minister Netanyahu listed the nation's profound military gains in the 12 days of war as the military turns its attention to the Hamas conflict in Gaza, where 7 soldiers died in a Hamas attack. The U.S. head of the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation, GHF, sharply criticized the United Nations for abandoning needy Gazans by keeping its distance from the aid program that has served 14 million meals in a month. And former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo lost the Democratic primary for New York City's mayor in a shocking upset by two Muslim anti-Israeli assemblymen, Zahan Mamdani. A London street preacher and singer stood her ground as police outside a train and subway station told her that sharing the gospel is all wrong. A suspect has confessed to the crucifixion murder of a beloved Arizona pastor and saying he had plans to kill 14 other faith leaders. An Arab-Israeli journalist and pro-Israeli advocate, Yosef Hadid, has a bold message for President Trump concerning Iran. Finish the job. President Donald Trump and Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth are pushing back hard against media stories based on leaks from intelligence sources reporting that the strike on Iran's nuclear facilities were not very effective and that Iran may have shipped out great stores of uranium to rebuild its nuclear program. Trump called the site at Fordo obliterated and said America's pilots were maligned by fake news. Trump also strongly defended Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu on Truth Social, calling his prolonged trial by Israeli prosecutors a witch hunt. Prosecutors have demanded that Netanyahu appear at another hearing. Trump said the trial should be canceled immediately, possibly indicating he wants to move quickly on a Middle East peace plan. The FBI says assets are fully engaged after it was learned that Iran threatened to activate sleeper cells in the U.S. if the military attacked Iranian nuclear facilities. 11 Iranians in the U.S. illegally have been arrested so far. And Johnny Moore, head of the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation, the GHF, says the biggest obstacle to delivering aid isn't Israel, but a corrupt international system that empowers Hamas to steal supplies, block access, and spread fear to keep Gazans away. Nearly 60 critically missing children have been rescued in Florida with the help of U.S. Marshals. The two-week effort in the Tampa area, called Operation Dragon Eye, led to 6 arrests and the recovery of children ranging from ages 9 to 17. Officials say it was the most successful rescue in the U.S. to date. And the Newsboys announced this week that their record label has dropped from following sexual assault allegations against former group member Michael Tate. U.S. senators who were briefed on the U.S. and Israeli military strike on Iran came away with different conclusions based on party affiliations about the lasting effectiveness of the attack. But President Trump and Prime Minister Netanyahu are confident that their actions will lead to a wider Middle East peace and expansion of the Abraham Accords. The immediate challenge is an end to the war with Hamas in Gaza, which the two leaders hope could be accomplished in 2 weeks. Included in the proposals would be a release of all the Israeli hostages, both living and dead, the exiling of the Hamas leadership, and oversight of Gaza coming from 4 Arab countries. The biggest obstacles? Hamas leaders refuse to go into exile, and Israeli won't allow a role for the Palestinian Authority in governing Gaza, which Arab leaders are calling for. And the Supreme Court ruled yesterday that states have the authority to exclude Planned Parenthood from Medicaid funding. One pro-life spokesperson called the 6-3 decision a major win for babies and their mothers. And the family of a Florida pastor's wife, who was deported to Mexico earlier this month, is asking the Department of Homeland Security for mercy in her case. And the Israeli Security Cabinet voted to strengthen the Jewish state's presence in Judea and Samaria, also known as the West Bank, by building 22 new settlements, communities, most notably among them Homs and Sana'a, 2 Sumerian settlements where the Israeli government forcibly removed the residents as part of the 2005 Gaza disengagement. And this concludes our weekly global news report brought to you by Mulberry Christian Radio. Until next time, have a blessed week.